As you look across last year and reflect back, a lot of things went down. A lot of them weren't too pleasant. A lot of perverse things that we saw. Amen. But we're still here. Can you say that God has been long-suffering with us? Long-suffering. And some people take that to mean that they can do certain things and get away with it. But God has a good memory. But he's a loving God. And also he's been patient with us. But you know what he wants? He wants the church to come back to him. I said the church. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then, say then, will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So it's not the sinners out there, it's the what? The church. I was doing some research and just reading and waiting on God to show me some things. And then I discovered something. You remember the great ship, the Titanic? Everybody remember that? They thought it was too big to sink. And some of us think we done got so big that we can't sink. That's deception. The enemy tells lies. Newsflash, don't believe the lie. Here's what I found out. 12 times they sent emergency messages to the people who were responsible for the Titanic. You know what the message was? The messages were? They're all the same. Change course. You know, Noah preached the same sermon every Sunday. Remember that? It's going to rain. They ain't pay him no mind. Day one, day two, day three, change course. How many times? 12 times. Change course. They had 12 warnings. How many warnings have you had? You're going the wrong direction. Disaster's coming. You know what we need? We need God. Change course. I thought that was interesting when I saw that. And I said, you know what? That'll slide right into my sermon. And I think they'll see what I'm about to give you my title. You ready? Turn back to God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Say that with me. Turn back to God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Then we need to act like it then. Matthew 3:17. What's about to happen is Jesus about to be baptized. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus is 30 years old. The English word in the Bible represents several different levels of sonship, son, in this passage particularly. But in the Bible, God does not refer to the saved as sons as reference to gender. Son, he's talking to daughters too, but to a position, because the Bible says we are sons by inheritance. So we are sons by inheritance. All baptized into Christ, all sons, we are joint heirs with Christ. So the Bible's been misinterpreted by a lot of folks, and they're spreading mistruths or misconceptions about what it's actually saying. People are saying, It's about an experience. When you die, you go to heaven, so you want to get saved. And then it tells you how to be good while you're still here. That is not what it is saying. You know what it's about? It's about transformation. He said, if you be transformed by the renewing of your, that you may prove what is that good and, there you go. Say transformation. Say change. Now, if you're a little bitty baby and you grow, it's supposed to grow, 12 years old, and there's no change, it's something wrong. Or if you first conceive and there's with child, and 6 months later there ain't no change, there's a problem. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So transformation is about being born again. Do you know it's also about potential? Potential to change? It's about a genesis. You becoming a species of being that never existed before. It's about becoming a son of the Most High God. And bearing his image and walking and demonstrating his power. We talked about that Wednesday night in prayer. What are you saying? I know what Jesus said, but what are you saying? The same power he gave it to you. Are you using it? What are you saying? When calamity come, are you just sitting there with your mouth closed? Are you saying anything? Are you declaring anything? He gave you the power. He gave you the keys. He gave us the keys. Amen. And you know what? You cannot do that apart from a relationship with him. Because the Bible says, in him we move and live and have our being. And so in the Gospels, he tells us, apart from him, we can do nothing. So you got to have a relationship with him. Not religion, knowing about him, but having a relationship with him. God must be first in our lives because we were designed to find fulfillment and ultimate meaning in him. Not your house, not your car, not your job, not your spouse, not your children. In him. All those things I just listed, you know that's what folks try to find fulfillment in? And in their money? But when you leave here, all that's going to stay. It'd be funny trying to see a house go to heaven, a car. Guy was telling a joke one time about a bunch of fellas went to hell, and they were down there trying to air condition it. Before they can get started, it burn up. Pretty bad. So in Matthew 3, this is his son. His son, S-O-N. In the Greek, the word nepios is the Greek word for son, and it means immaturity. But here, when he talks about his son, he's talking about weos, and the Greek word means fully matured son, ready to take on the father's business. How many folks in the natural have we seen give their kids all that money prematurely and they're not ready? They're immature. They can't handle it. And the Bible says prosperity ruineth the fool. So in Hebrew culture, at age 30, you were considered to be fully matured. Jesus had lived 30 years in virtual obscurity. Everything lined up. We know two things about Jesus. At Christmas, he was what? Born. And then the second thing we know about him, his mother and father lost him. in the temple. Remember? And they went back looking for him. And where was he found? The Bible said he was found in the temple, confounding the scribes and the elders and the Pharisees, just messing their minds up because he knew so much at 12 years old. A mature son at 12 years old. That's all we know in 30 years. He was born. Think about it. That's all we know. 30 years. He was born on Christmas, and his mom and daddy lost him. That's it. You tell me, show me somewhere else where you'd find it at 30 years old. You won't find it. So I look. Now here is Jesus, 30 years old, and John the Baptist, his cousin, baptizes him. The heavens open. The Spirit of God descends on him in bodily form like a dove. And then a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." 30 years. Watch this. We have no record of attack and no recorded adversity in Jesus' life. None. Why did you reveal that, Pastor Joe? Watch this. But as soon as identity is revealed, the tempter came. Watch this. In this world, we got a lot of folks who don't know who they are. They don't know what sex they are. They don't know. They lost. No attacks. No adversity until it was revealed who he was. "This is my beloved in whom I am well." Don't just say please. He said, "I am well pleased." So the enemy didn't show up until his identity was revealed. Let me take a few steps back to Genesis. When Adam and Eve got married, that's when the tempter showed up. He didn't show up until then. So you wonder why you're catching so much in your marriage? He don't want you to represent Christ in the church properly. So he come to bring about disruption. Newsflash, don't you be the catalyst that he ride in on to do it. Moving on. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. Now, have you ever wondered why there's an assault in our culture on identity? You ever wondered why? Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know what you got. And if you don't know what you got, you don't know what you're supposed to do. So first thing the Father wants you to know is who he is. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am." Okay, we got that right. "He's my son." We got that right. "He's my what?" Not Joseph and Mary's boy. Not the carpenter just building furniture. "This is my beloved in whom I am." Okay, y'all doing good. So Jesus was well pleased with him before. Say before. Before he did a thing. Did y'all hear me? Before Jesus did anything, he said, "I am well pleased with him." No miracles. He hadn't did a miracle yet. He hadn't healed the sick. He hadn't fed the 5,000. He hadn't walked on water. He hadn't cast out a devil. He said, "I am well pleased." Did y'all realize that? See, a lot of times we just read our Bible and we don't think as we read through it. He hadn't did a thing, but he was well pleased with it. So God sent, you know what he was saying? "I'm all right with you, buddy, just like you are." That's the way you come into a relationship with God, y'all. That's the way you come into a relationship with God. So what are you saying? He's well pleased with you. You might have had a bad night last night. You may have had an argument with your spouse on the way to church. Shake your head, say amen. See, y'all don't quite believe me. It's not works or how bad or how good that you have been. You are his beloved. Say, "I am his beloved." And in you he is well pleased. So the tempter comes. Here's the thing about most of us. Watch this now. Because a lot of us get in this trap. Most of us, we feel that we are under attack. We feel the enemy is coming. When we're under attack, we feel the enemy is coming against what we are doing. That's not the case. He come against who you are. Not what you're doing. Well, we're trying to build this business and trying to get this project off the ground. Me and my spouse, we're trying to get it together. He ain't coming against what you're doing. He's coming against who you are. Amen, somebody. Listen to Satan. Watch this. There's no conflict, I told you, between Jesus and the enemy. But when he heard his identity revealed, you know what the enemy said? I got to challenge that. You claiming you're a Christian? You know what the enemy's saying? I got to challenge that. Now you know why you catch so much hell. Amen, somebody. Don't, when you get born again, it's just starting, baby. Hey. So, listen to his first words in Matthew 4 and 3. Turn to Matthew 4 and 3. Watch this, what Satan says to him. He said, if you are, three times, if, that's an insult, y'all. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into. How did Jesus respond? It is what? Man shall. But by. If you are. Second time, he took him up on a mountain. If you are, throw yourself down. The angels will come and rescue you, won't they? In essence, that's what he's saying. And Jesus responded, come on, congregation. So now you know why you need to read your Bible, because Pastor Joe going to get you to try to help him, see? Third time, he took him to a place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. If you are the Son of God, what did he say? I what? I give you all this. If you would fall down and. Could Satan give him? Yes, he could. I'm glad y'all got that. Because Adam forfeited it. Adam gave it up. So that's why he could. See, the enemy will take advantage of everything you give him. Or try to. That's why we got to know the truth, not know about it, y'all. I ain't stepping on nobody's toes. I'm just trying to open your eyes. If you bow down and worship me and all this, I would give you. If you are, three times, trouble does not come to test what you do, but to test who you are. When you come up against conflict, that's Satan. I heard you praising. I heard you singing that praise song. Mm-hmm. If your God is all that he said he is to you, then I'm going to bring this to you on Monday when Bishop ain't there. A Pastor Joe and no praise team around and no other saints to pray for you. If you are. See, I'm going to test that, see if you really all that. That's what the enemy's saying. So when conflict comes, y'all, that's what's going on. Amen, somebody. Now, he's revealed. He's tempted, talking about Jesus, and what did he do? He overcomes it. Everything. Each time the enemy came to him, he said, it is written. And then he starts preaching. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say, I want to talk to you about the five laws of prosperity or the five keys to financial breakthrough. He said, repent. Nowadays, People don't repent, they apologize. I'm for real. They don't repent, they apologize. They come to the altar full of guilt and shame, ask for forgiveness, but when they leave the altar, no intention of repenting. I want temporary relief from what I just messed up, but I'm going not to change one thing. And then people who operate like that end up in deception. They think they repented, but they really haven't. A lot of apologies. But I got saved for real. I was tight for, I'm talking about me. I was tight with about five guys. I ain't talking about the hamburger joint either. Even though I like five guys. Anybody like five guys beside me? Five guys. Them big old thing. And man, don't order the large fry, because the small one will... You can share it with somebody. I found that out. Me and my wife come out of Subway in New York. We were so hungry, I went to Five Guys and ordered the large fry. Oh, my God. We had to give them away or throw them away. Anyway. The Lord had been dealing with me. I got saved for real. And I was ashamed to tell y'all this, but boy, I was out there. I've been to Pluto a few times without telling you what I did, and Mars. A few shots of Jack, Bud Miller, Johnny Walker, Johnny Running, playing dominoes and spades and big whiz and all that. But I told those guys, so you listen, guys. I said, I'm done. I won't be hanging out with y'all no more. So what they began to do, they started mocking me, making fun of me. Don't bother me. You handpicked. Oh, yeah, but you ain't got nobody, Jack. You ain't got nobody. You go home and get into bed by yourself. I got somebody warm and beautiful and love me, I ain't telling you no more, so don't be looking at me. And so I told him, I said, I'm bye-bye gone. Two of them died, and the rest of them got shipwrecked. One of them lost his family's job and everything. We were on the same job. He was doing better than me. He was higher than me. He lost everything. I took his place and surpassed that. Because of the God in me. But one of those guys had sense enough to recognize God in me. He was dying of cancer. He called me. Had his wife to call me. Said, can you come see him? I went to see him. I prayed the prayer of salvation with him on his deathbed. He received Jesus. He said, I knew it was something different about you. Glory be to God. So I left, pennant, I did a 180, and then it was full steam ahead in another direction. I repented. Jesus said, oh, here's another thing. Ladies, y'all need to repent too. Quit playing out there, because as long as you playing, the guy's going to play with you. They won't marry you. They'll play with you. I just thought I need to say that, because I see a lot of playing out there. I am. And I ain't never scared, because I know who's backing me. All right, here we go. Y'all take it. Let me speed it up. Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. In other words, what I'm about to bring, you can't get it unless you repent, unless you change. You can't get it. The word re and repent means again. Say again. Re means what? The word pent is metanoia in the Greek, which means to go beyond. Go beyond all this mess. The kingdom is at hand. Go beyond all this again. Repent. The chaos that takes everybody in the drama, you can soar high above all of that mess. Being raised in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen, somebody. Come up higher. Come up high. Mount up with wings as eagles and soar above them. Then run and not get weary. Walk and not faint. Live life from a different perspective. Repent. In English, pent means two different things. It could mean the highest place, the penthouse. That's why it costs you more money. The penthouse. I'm bringing a kingdom that will return you to the high places. Anybody interested in the high places? Repent and you'll get there. Or it could mean five, Pentagon. Anybody heard of Pentagon? Five. In the Bible, five is the number of government. Govern your life and rule it again when you repent. Instead of it kicking you in and everywhere, it wants you to go. I can't understand folks who's against prosperity. Because when you repent, you're on your way. Where's Tori? I said this to you some months ago. It is impossible to obey God and your life don't elevate. It is impossible to obey God and your life don't elevate. Here's the scripture. If you observe all these things which I command you to do this day, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. That's in Deuteronomy. If you repeat and start thinking the way he thinks, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Mindset, the series, you need to listen to it again or watch it. And acting the way he acts and saying what he say, your life will go up like a helium balloon. Y'all didn't get that. Play with a helium balloon, let it go, see what happens. That's the way your life will go. Boom. Try to hold it underwater. Boom, it's going up. Impossible. Hold it down. Put God first in your marriage, it will elevate. Put God what? Not second. And what'll happen? Put God first in your kids and your family. It's gonna what? Elevate your mind. Think on these things. Your mind will what? Your mind will. Repent. Return to the high places. Rule your life again. Go beyond all this because the kingdom is going to allow you to do it. A kingdom is not about religion. It's about governments. Say governments. Number five, I told you it meant government. And you can govern your life. Okay? Jesus came to create a counterculture. People who look in the face of culture. Look what's going on today in our culture. You look culture in the face and you say, I'm going to do it God's way. That's what God wants. When you do it God's way in the face of culture, his kingdom come. His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. So do it how? God's way. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I'm about to say something. I need everybody to pay attention, because if you don't get this, you have the potential of misinterpreting the whole Bible. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. There are several adverse lifestyles listed. Or in other words, they're called works of the flesh. But if you look down, it's followed by these words. People who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They say these people aren't saved if they do these things. The fact is, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is not the place. They're taking the kingdom and calling it the place called heaven, and they say if you do these things, you can't go to heaven. That is not what they're saying. They misinterpret the whole thing. Salvation is plain, isn't it? If you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you do that, you are. Why? Because the Bible says it. Can God lie? Then why you want to change it and say something else? Not you, but you know. The moment you tack rules onto it, which are not there, and you say stop this and start that, you know what you're saying? The blood of Jesus isn't enough. Who gave you authority? What you're saying, there's something that you can do or not do that's greater than the blood. And if people start talking about that, read the hand, baby. I'm gone. And if I'm in a church like that, the dough gonna hit me. Because I'm out of there. Ephesians make it clear. Salvation is of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It will never be dependent on you ever. Salvation. God will never put salvation in your hands. It's his victory. Say his victory. It's not yours. Who did the work? Well, how can we claim the victory and tell folks how to do it? We don't have that authority. Well, here's the explanation. Everybody ready? The kingdom of God is who owns it. The kingdom of heaven is where it's from. See the difference? The kingdom of God is what? Who owns it? And the kingdom of heaven is where it is from. Thank you. When you talk about kingdom, you're talking about a king's territory. Say territory. What is the wealth of a kingdom? Territory. That's why you see countries always trying to find new territory or space. They're trying to increase their kingdom. Kingdom. Say that. Kingdom. You can always tell what kingdom has won by what language they speak. Watch this now. Y'all follow me? You can always tell what kingdom has come, what kingdom has won by what language they speak. In Haiti, what do they speak? French. In Cuba, what do they speak? Spanish. In the Bahamas, it was set up by the English. And they're all right there together. Three different languages. Whoever conquers, that's what you speak. Everybody got that? Now I'm finna step on your toes. Get your toes out. Uncross your legs. Let me step on them. You see, I know whether or not Jesus has conquered you by the way you speak. The earth, because of Adam forfeiting it, has been absent of heaven. He forfeited it. That's why the enemy could offer Jesus the kingdoms of the world, because Adam forfeited it. So now the fullness of time has come, and Jesus says, we're going back to the high place. Say high place. Now you see the significance of repenting. So you can go to the high place. Repent, for heaven is expanding its territory into earth. Into earth, where we are. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But it's only when you understand the kingdom that you can have some heaven here on earth. When you understand the kingdom. That's why I'm taking time to explain it to you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come back to God. Return to God. The hell that you are living in is not God's plan for you. Bishop preached a weeks ago. He said, God said, I know the plans I have for you. And hell ain't one of them. There's a better life for you. Touch your neighbor and say, we're coming out of this. No, say it like you mean it. We're coming out of this. Repent. For the kingdom is at hand. Turn back to God. Will you stand to your feet? I'm done. Did that help anybody? The Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding, and in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your pathway. Now you got direction for the year. But don't start unless you repent first. Come to prayer, like we was talking about. Prayer room was full on Wednesday. I expect to see you where we have to bust out the seams. Glory be to God. God is so good. You see how he wants us to know and understand so we can walk in what he's provided for us. There's a lot of folks, like Minister Jackie said earlier, she said a lot of people didn't make it to 2026. It's over for them. You can't pray for them anymore. It's over with. You can pray for the family, but for them, it's over with. For us still here, we still got an opportunity. I was sitting thinking, and I know you know there's going to be two judgment seats. One is called the judgment seat of Christ. That's where the saved people go, and your works are judged. But there's also the great white throne judgment seat where the unsaved come to. Here's what I got for you. And anybody ever been to court? Anybody ever been to court? Raise your hand. If you never been in a courtroom and saw a court session, raise your hand. Never seen it. What about TV? You seen it on TV? Okay, so. For those of you who have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't have to go to that seat. You can settle out of court. You can settle out of court. So Jesus died, paid the penalty already for you. So you don't have to. All you have to do is receive what he done. And he said, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, you shall be. Wait a minute. Didn't he say you might be saved? Told you God can't lie. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Sister Tasha, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
She said yes. She didn't bow her head. He said you confess with your, quit bowing your head. Avery, no, I don't want you to bow your head. I don't want you to close your eyes. Jesus wasn't ashamed to die before you, naked and beaten. And the Passion of Christ didn't do justice to him because he was so disfigured in his beating, you couldn't even recognize him as being human. He did that openly before everybody, for you and me. So, you want to make it through this year? You want to see heaven? You want to see Jesus? You want salvation? Let me see your hand. Thank you for the hand. Oh, hands up all over the building. God bless you, Bale, y'all, Sotolo Boku. We about to have some more brothers and sisters. We about to have some people that their life is about to take off like a helium balloon. Every time we do birthday parties, me and my wife at the venue, I love to see those helium balloons. And we was had an event at home, remember in the front yard, and we just released them, a bunch of them, different colors. Look around, different colors and backgrounds, and we all get to heaven. What a time it will be. But we can have a time now. We don't have to wait to the end. Anybody else want to join us? Because see, during the rapture, when Jesus come back that time, his feet ain't going to touch the ground. We're going to join him in the air. And we'll take off with him. But the second coming, his feet going to touch the ground. And if you ain't born again, it's going to be rough. I ain't trying to scare nobody, but just read your Bible to tell you. I'm going in the first load. Anybody going with me? Anybody fly airplanes? You know, you take flights, fly anywhere. Huh? Let me see your hand. I'm gonna see you. What do you think it'd be like? You sitting in an airplane next to somebody. I'm gonna sit with Tasha. I love Tasha. Let's sit down. Me and Tasha sitting down on the airplane. And the rapture take place. The pilot gone. And me and Tasha holding hands, we gone. There's still folks on the plane. You don't want to be one of them that's still on the plane. You ain't got no pilot. Where you going? Y'all follow me? We can fix all that now. You can settle where? Out of court. When? Right now. Oh my God, I'm having a good time. Jesus is good. You know what? I'm glad I left those five guys. I ain't talking about the hamburgers. I hadn't left them yet. But I'm glad I left them five guys. But them boys were rough. Woo! I could have went to prison with them. But he saved me. He picked me up. He turned me around. If I could do like those cheerleaders, I would have both hands and feet up, but I would hit, you know, the ground. Y'all would laugh at me. Ready to pray? We're about to get some more brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the brothers and sisters we're about to partake of. If that's you that raise your hand, I want you to repeat after me. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for all of my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Make my life new. I thank you. My name is written today in the Lamb's Book of Life. Help me to renew my mind with your word. Satan, it's over, buddy. I denounce you from my life. From this day forward, I will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Jesus is Lord. Oh, boy. January 11, 2026. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. My name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have prayer warriors down here. If you need further prayer instructions, questions, they're here to serve you. Oh, aren't you glad you came to church? So we're going to make sure that we repent. Why? For the kingdom is, because when we repent, we're going to go to the higher places again in Jesus' name. God bless you.